Active Sports with superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson.
I take pride in my hair.
Feel that? Radioactive Sports in the afternoon on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
Not bringing the ability to high point the ball and my ability to get yards out of the catch and able to break tackles. Most of my weaknesses is blocking. I need to work on that. Also, I'm a big physical kind of player. I go and get the balls. I go in the middle, catch the balls anywhere, I go and get it.
Oh, God. I don't want that guy to be in the middle.
Impressive, I guess.
I go get the ball goes over the middle,
The ball goes this way, and I catch it, and I run with it that way. And
I don't really want him to be on the Minnesota Vikings, but that's who our guy, Dane Brugler, CBS Sports senior draft analyst, has us taking in his latest
Devontae
mock draft.
Parker.
Devontae Parker.
Who's that?
He said he would be very happy from Louisville, very happy to reunite with Ted Bridgewater.
Before we bring a Dane on, no. I just want you to know that Parker sounds about 42 years old. He sounds about 42, 43, somewhere in there, give or take. This is Radioactive Sports. I am the true superstar, Mike Morris. I am truly the superstar. That's Ben Holson. Dane, are you there?
Hey, good afternoon, guys.
Hey, man, what's going on?
What'd you think of that intro, huh?
that was quite the intro.
Yeah.
Devontae Parker... Well, I'll leave it on the field. He's a pretty good player out there.
He's a really good player out there, but it must be the guys that they have to get from Louisville. They're all kind of, I mean, even Teddy Bridgewater's a little bit kind of, I don't even know what to say.
Teddy's just Southern gentleman.
Yeah.
But he does have a draw.
Yeah. Parker's interview wasn't really, it didn't grab you. It didn't, he wasn't very comfortable up there. I mean, that's just, you know, a lot of these guys, when you put a microphone in their face, they don't really act themselves. So it's tough to really get a gauge based on that. But you're right about Bridgewater. He's very introverted. That turned off some scouts. I know that was a big, talking point at this point last year. So it might be onto something with the Louisville connection.
Yeah, I think so. And Dane, by the way, he was more comfortable at the microphone than you were trying to describe how uncomfortable he was. It's awkward to listen to some guys, and I agree with you completely, Dane. There are some guys that you listen to and you go, oh,
what?
No. I mean, oh, no. I mean, someone work with this kid on his playbook. But anyway, and you know what? They normally, people have a high IQ based on the sports and the passions that they have, and I'm sure that this guy, Devontae Parker, is no different. He has probably loved football, lives it, eats it, sleeps it, and let's hope that maybe he's got a shot to come and rejoin one of his old teammates, Ted Bridgewater.
That's what we're calling him now. He's all grown up, Dane. We're calling him Ted.
He's not a rookie anymore. He's Ted Bridgewater. But the draft, it grows closer and closer. We need an offensive lineman, I think. I really believe the Vikings need an offensive lineman first and foremost. I know it's probably stretching a bit to take an offensive lineman in the first round, but they've got some good ones out there.
Yeah, this class doesn't have that, that clear-cut top 10 type of offensive lineman, but there are some pretty good options. And, the Vikings picking at 11, there's a good chance they might have the first crack at an offensive lineman this year, whether that's, outside of tackle, Andrus Peat out of Stanford, TJ Clemmings out of Pitt, Lyle Collins, LSU, and a lot of teams are very high on Collins, especially the coaches. Once the coaches get involved, that's really when you see some of these guys move up, because the coaches really, really connect with some of these players where it doesn't always look pretty, but they get the most out of them and they really like what they bring to the field. But then also Brandon Scherff, who was a left tackle at Iowa. To me, he's going to move inside a guard at the next level, almost that Zach Martin type of path. You move him into guard, I think it's plug and play type of guy. He's going to be there the next decade.
He had an issue with one of his legs, I think a quadricep or a hamstring at Combine. He didn't get to complete the entire Combine, I don't believe, Scherff, from Iowa. How do you think that will come out for him? I mean, does that affect his stock right away?
No, I don't think so. It's more of a lingering thing that, I haven't heard anything in terms of his medical evaluation being, something that's going to be a long-term issue. He did miss a big portion of the 2012 season. But he started every game the last 2 years. So durability, not a big concern with him.
We're talking to one of my favorite guys, Dane Brugler, a senior NFL draft analyst for CBS Sports and NFLDraftScout.com, because that means we're talking mock drafts and dreaming about what the Vikings could possibly do. You know Rick Spielman's going to do some moving and shaking around. He always does. He likes to add an extra first-round draft pick. I know Mike just told you, Dane, that he wants an offensive lineman in the first round, but I talk to him every single day. The superstar Mike Morris sits right across from me. He wants Trey Waynes from Michigan State. I want you to talk about Trey Waynes, somebody that I like to call Damon Waynes or Marvin Waynes, one of the Waynes brothers. And then I'm really interested in Benardrick McKinney from Mississippi State, that middle linebacker who will probably be taken later on in the first round. Can you tell us about those two guys, cornerback Trey Waynes from Michigan State and middle linebacker Benardrick McKinney from Mississippi State?
Yeah, Waynes took over Darquez Denard's boundary position at the cornerback for Michigan State this year. He's a tremendous talent at over 6 foot, 186 pounds, long arms. And, you know, going into the combine, I think most thought of him as that top cornerback. And then he goes out and runs a 4.31 40-yard dash. It was the fastest of all the defensive backs. Really helped himself in that regard. He was adequate in the other drills, 38-inch vertical, 7.06 3-cone. So he definitely helped himself. When you go to the film with Waynes, he likes to freelance a little bit, and that's where he gets himself in trouble. But in terms of just a skill set type of player, he's what you want at the cornerback position. So after what he did at the combine, good chance we see him off the board somewhere in the top 12 picks, top 13 picks maybe. I don't know if he gets past
number 11 for the Vikings. Here we go, Dane.
Oh, my.
11 definitely a possibility. And then you mentioned Benardrick McKinney, inside linebacker. You know what? I'm not a fan.
Really?
I gave him a fourth round grade.
Wow.
I would be interested to see how he does at defensive end or maybe a rush outside linebacker type. When you keep him between the tackles and he's going against the run, that's where he's in his element. He's a run thumper. That's when he's at his best. In space, when he has to drop and play, get spatial responsibilities. That's when he really struggles. That's where he gets flawed. For me, not a big fan of.
Dane, we're having a hard time hearing you. Can you go closer to a window? You're probably on a cell phone. We know that. Go somewhere where probably you can get maybe just a better signal. But that's upsetting about Benardrick McKinney from Mississippi State. I was reading everything from everybody besides Dane Brugler, obviously, the guy we're talking to, the senior NFL draft analyst for CBS Sports and NFLDraftScout.com, saying he's such an athletic freak, whereas he could come up and thump those guys, but he can also play back in coverage. He's a three-down middle linebacker. But our guy Dane, I take his word for it. That's why we have him on. He's much smarter than I am. Anybody's much smarter than I am, but
truly,
Dane is far and away above much smarter than I am, and that's a bummer about Benardrick McKinney.
Yeah, I'm surprised by that too. I mean, a lot of different people. I was reading some things on him as well after you brought his name up. I'm not up to par quite like Dane is, or you for that matter. You love college football and you cover it like a blanket.
And me?
And Dane,
have you been
by
drinking?
The way, he covers it like Fred Smoot. But Dane, I have to ask you. I mean, is there going to be any chance?
Dane's not on. We're trying to call him back. He has a problem.
I didn't know if he hung up or if he just walked.
Yeah, we're trying to get him back on.
Okay, so here's the thing. I'm torn between that corner sitting there.
I know you are.
And I mean, a great talent. I mean, more so than a sheriff would be, I think, talent-wise. Which is the better?
A home run hitter.
What more need could you possibly have than another corner to go, side by side, bookends with Xavier Rhodes?
But here's what Dane Brugler was saying. If the worst thing that can possibly be the fact about our guy Waynes from Michigan State is that he freelances... Who's better to fix that than the best secondary coach in the NFL? That would be Mike Zimmer. And then
and his son.
And his son is fantastic, too. And so is Jerry Gray, the defensive backs coach. We're joined again by Dane Brugler. Dane, how you doing?
Good. Let's try that again.
Good. So you were talking about Benardrick McKinney and how bad he is and how stupid I am for wanting to take him in the first round. You said you had a fourth-round grade on him, so go ahead.
Yeah, he's not a bad player. It's just, you know, what his strengths are attacking the run, you know, between the hashes. He's a two-down thumper. And for me, that's the type of player that I like, you know, in the later stages of the third round, maybe early fourth round, just depending on what you need, obviously. But if he's a guy you want to come in and, you know, give him pass responsibilities in terms of dropping and what his strengths are. So I think the combine numbers can be a little – deceiving because, you know, you look at the vertical, you look at his 40-yard dash, he did a nice job, but in terms of holding up in space, and recognizing that, you know, but he doesn't have that spatial awareness. He looks tight when he's asked to move, flip his hips. So just he struggles in that area. Not something that I want him doing on my team. That's why I'd like to see him maybe even as a defensive end or something, outside linebacker type of mold where he's asked to go upfield, get after the passer, stop the run, hold the edge. Not a guy I want playing in the back half of the field for me.
Talking with Dane Brugler, senior NFL draft analyst for CBS Sports and NFLDraftScout.com. We are finding ourselves in the midst of sort of a year where it's not do or die, but it's time to turn the page and not talk about rebuilding. And we've got a staff that's in place. We know the system is pretty good when we keep people on the field and healthy. You know, we've talked about offensive line. We've talked about wide receiver, a little at middle linebacker, and the corner. But where would you put the Vikings' top priority if it was you? I mean, we've both, Ben and I, have our own opinions. What, being a man in your position and looking at the Viking team from a distance, not locally, what do you think they need most that is glaring?
To me, it's receiver. And that's, to help a young quarterback, could he use an extra offensive lineman to make sure Bridgewater is not on his back? Sure, absolutely. But I want to find that target. I want to find that number one that I can pair up with my young quarterback, develop that chemistry. And, you know, we kind of got spoiled last year with the wide receivers that came out. We had four rookies go over 1,000 yards. That's not the norm. That's not what we usually see. Wide receiver is usually one of the toughest positions for rookies to, you know, really adapt just to the speed of the NFL. They're not used to playing against press coverage. And so it's tougher for these wide receivers. But in this class, there's three guys at the top, Amari Cooper, Kevin White, and Devontae Parker. If one of them is there at 11, it'd be pretty tough to pass on one.
Talking to Dane Brugler, all over Vikings.com at the NFL Combine. Part of me wonders if it's a smokescreen, but Vikings.com, like I said, all over the paper here locally. It's all about Shaq Thompson, the outside linebacker from Washington. You have him going number 21 to the Cincinnati Bengals. The Cincinnati Bengals just re-signed Ray Maliuga today to a three-year contract extension. He's not hitting free agency. There was a lot of scuttlebutt going around that he might be a possible fit here in the middle for Mike Zimmer, because obviously Mike Zimmer was the defensive coordinator for the Bengals, coached Maliuga for several years. What do you think about Shaq Thompson in the Minnesota Vikings?
It's an interesting fit, and he could be available in the second round. That's possible. He's going to go somewhere in that late first, early second round range, so you can't rule it out. He's athletic, he can move, and he likes to hit. And he made it known at the combine that he wants to play linebacker. Now, he has played in the middle, he's played outside, so he brings a little bit of versatility. He can play in the 3-4, play in the 4-3, so, I mean, he's done a lot of things. But at Washington, it was more see ball, hit ball. See ball, get ball, hit the man, try to separate man from ball. I think once he gets more responsibilities, once he really learns the position more, I think the sky's the limit. I think he's just scratching the surface of what he can be as a linebacker. So I think a really good player, but can he hold up on every downs? We talked about that with McKinney, Shaq Thompson, similar type of thing, except he's a much better athlete. He just a little improvement in some areas because, again, at Washington, it was more, we're not going to give you these exact responsibilities. We're just going to tell you to go out there and hit someone. So once he gets to the NFL, it's going to be a little bit of a learning process. I don't think a guy that's going to come in and immediately light up the league. But when we're talking, 2 years down the road and we look back at the pick, I think Shaq Thompson will end up being a valuable piece for someone, like I said, that late first, early second round.
I think this year might be a little bit different also. Dane Grubler, senior NFL draft analyst for CBS Sports and NFLDraftScout.com. We might have a running back that may just go in the first. We might have two running backs that could go first round in this year's draft. They've been passed on two consecutive years now in the first round. Do you see that happening?
The last 2 years, first time in NFL history it's happened. Could we see it again? I don't think so. I think we see the running back streak end with Todd Gurley. I think a lot of people like Melvin Gordon, but Todd Gurley is the guy. I mean, I know he has the injury with the knee, had it in November, had surgery shortly after, still in rehab. But Todd Gurley, as long as the medical staff gives me the thumbs up that he'll be back probably by August, Todd Gurley's going in the first round because he's a special talent. He's on that tier one by himself in terms of the top running backs in this class. And I think there's a good chance Melvin Gordon does fall the second round, just because in this draft class of running backs, there's so much talent. There's guys that you can get in the second, third, fourth round that will make an impact in the league. And what we're seeing around the league right now, Maurice Jones-Drew, he just retired today, with LeSean McCoy being traded. Once these running backs get up there in age, these teams are willing to move on and, you know, take a draft of running back early. And so, we might see, I think we're a good chance we see Gurley in the first round, but then we're going to see a run somewhere in that second round, and a good chance we see 8, 9, 10 running backs off the board, top 100 this year.
Wow. Talking to Dane Brugler, our draft expert, senior NFL draft analyst, CBS Sports, NFLDraftScout.com. We're just talking running backs here and obviously mock drafts. Dane, if Adrian Peterson, we know we cover that, I'm sure you do too, especially here in Minnesota. The Mike Zimmer and Rick Spielman had a meeting down in Houston yesterday. If Adrian Peterson is traded or is no longer a member of the Minnesota Vikings, how does that change your thought process when it comes to the Minnesota Vikings draft needs, and how does it change their big board when it comes to a Todd Gurley or a Melvin Gordon or even that was it Tevin Coleman from Indiana?
Right, yeah, Tevin Coleman from Indiana, Jay Ajayi, Boise State. I think we have to look at in second, third round maybe being a possibility, and I think it really depends how the board shakes out. And you know, they drafted Jerick McKinnon last year as a possible guy in the backfield that can carry the load, and I think they really think highly of him. But when you can find a running back and say like Amir Abdullah in the third round, who would be a nice change of pace with McKinnon, I think that'd be a nice fit. Duke Johnson out of Miami, another guy. I don't see them, you know, reaching for a running back in the first round. But if Adrian Peterson is not on the Vikings roster on draft weekend, heck, there's a good chance we see a running back somewhere in the top 100. But I'd like to see maybe an Amir Abdullah, Duke Johnson, one of those scat backs, change of pace options, guys that can catch the ball out of the backfield, and really add another dimension to that Vikings offense.
Dane Brugler, thank you very much. You know what? We're going to be counting on you big time as draft day nears. We're going to be calling on you several times, so just be ready.
Have your cell phone on, please, my friend. Love you to death. Thanks for coming on. Thanks for coming on the show again today, Dane. Big fan. Thank you.
Thank you.
We've got 4.5 questions right around the corner, and gosh knows. I mean, you never know what Ben Holson has picked out for the superstar Mike Morris. Three questions and then a...
Four questions.
Four questions and then a word association.
First question... I'll ask you right now.
Ooh.
Can you pull my finger?
I think we should take a break. It's that time of day.
Already?
Yeah, 4:30 or so every single day, Monday through Friday, here at Radioactive Sports. The superstar Ben Holson and Mike Morris. We do this little thing called
professional help.
I know. I'm scrambled. It's hard to unscramble scrambled eggs.
I went to the Timberwolves game last night, and you wouldn't believe how many people came up to me. Well, not at the Timberwolves game. There were two people that we gave those tickets away to yesterday during the game. They sat right next to me.
Yep.
And they said, I knew you had to be Ben because the superstar makes fun of your hair all the time. Because I've got this long, flowing, beautiful hair.
Well, you got the flow.
Mm-hmm.
You got the flow going.
And then I walked outside. I walked you to your car because it's downtown, and I know it's very dangerous. I want to make sure you get to your car safely.
I appreciate
about
it
your
too.
Safety.
I
and as I was walking
that.
Back in, I ran into an old friend, Big Bobby K, who said, "Wow, man, you've really made it. You're sitting there at that table on the radio next to the superstar." That's how you know you've made it.
Well, you have arrived. You have arrived. Yeah.
And he was serious.
This has been fun. This has been a lot of fun, and we're just still going to keep hammering away and making this bigger, better, more fun for you people out there to be able to listen to a little talk radio, a little sports. We don't take it too seriously, but we give you good information. And hey, you can call us anytime you want.
Of course,
651-989-9105. In just such a segment as the one we're in right now, 4.5 questions. Ben will ask me 4 questions, and then a half question at the end, sort of a word association game that we have, and that kind of leads to our next segment after the break. But
question number one. Here we go. Adrian Peterson just said it in our sports flash here. The meeting with Mike Zimmer and Rick Spielman went pretty well yesterday, but there are still some issues and concerns. Spielman said the meeting was very good, but declined to comment further. Mike Zimmer obviously said Adrian's a good guy. Mum's the word, though, from Winter Park, though our guy Brian Murphy from the Pioneer Press and TwinCities.com ambushed the two. He called me this morning all excited. ambushed the two when they returned to the airport last night. He'll be on and give us the scoop coming up at 5 o'clock here on the show. So 24 minutes from now, you're not going to want to miss this. But Superstar, speculate your butt off and tell us what you think was talked about yesterday and decided on yesterday during the meeting in Texas.
Well, you know, we've both sort of taken a shot at this, and for me at least, I think my mind comes out completely different than your scenario. I think by the way it went yesterday, now it might be different after hearing what Brian Murphy had to tell you, but I really think that he wants to move on. I think that he gave the Vikings sort of a brief overlay of how he wants to depart, an exit plan, if you will. And here's how we can do it and make it the most fair for both sides. And I think this is fair. And you know what? You've been good to me. And, you know, I think I've done my part there in Minnesota. Let's part ways this way. And I think that was sort of the parameters that were set up and established. That, for me, is really? Wanting out, picking four or five teams that he would prefer to go to. And the Vikings, Here you go. Go find some trade and get me out of here. And we'll talk about reducing everything so that it makes it more doable.
Yeah, I think everything might be on the table. And like I said, it's going to be interesting. I told Brian Murphy, don't tell me too much. I want to hear about it and react naturally on the radio. 5 o'clock, he'll give us the inside scoop. Brian Murphy from the Pioneer Press and TwinCities.com caught Rick Spielman and Mike Zimmer back on their trip from Houston last night, just waiting for him, stalking him at the airport. Also coming up, because I think there's a good possibility where Vikings are going to trade Adrian Peterson at 5:30. Five possible trade scenarios for Adrian Peterson, written by our good friend Chris Shad from Cold Omaha at 105theticket.com. The five teams, and we'll kind of discuss about what possible scenario we could get back maybe in a trade for Adrian Peterson. We'll do that at 5:30. So you're not going to want to go anywhere. But question two, 4.5 questions. The Timberwolves outworked by the Denver Nuggets last night. I was at the game. Good friend of mine took his three-year-old. I went with him. You saw him last
night. I saw him last night at the table where we were.
Yeah, his first Timberwolves game, and it was a bad one. Luckily, he's 3 years old and probably won't have any idea what happened. But I was at the game. It was one of the worst I've seen. Gorky Jang dominated by Kenneth Faried. Peck didn't play very many minutes. Rubio was taking shots and missing them. Kevin Martin looked like he was still sick. Kevin Garnett was barely visible. Are the Wolves back to earth following this high, the high of bringing back Kevin Garnett, or do you think last night was just an anomaly facing a team that was riding high, emotional high, after firing their coach Brian Shaw?
I think the Timberwolves are going to be this team that every now and then they find something brand new about themselves. I think almost every week now that Kevin's back, they find out that it can be different. And they're experimental at this point, and I don't think it's really good for them to go out and try and win a lot of games anyway.
No,
so it's a good time to experiment, and I think that they're still finding themselves. It's not very often that Kevin Martin goes out and lays an egg. It just isn't. That's not his M.O. He normally lights it up, and that's not him. And so the T-Wolves, he sets the tone for scoring with this team. And when he's hot, everyone else sort of follows suit, and with the burden on him, of course. But and then KG is just, he's a 38-year-old guy that needs rest from time to time and can't play a lot of minutes. And I think that the leadership is there. And that brings an awful lot to the table. But it's going to take a lot of time for these people to finally get back on the court, used to each other, in some chemistry. And right now, with all the injuries that have happened, that's a tough thing to do.
It's fun to see the continued growth of Andrew Wiggins, who seems to be getting pretty pretty confident in what he's doing. I think Kevin Garnett's in his ear saying, dude, you've got all this talent. Go to the rim and slam it home. Obviously flying all over the place. Andy Greeter from the Pioneer Press and TwinCities.com, another one of our friends, also wrote a piece saying that Flip Saunders is really happy with the backcourt. And you think about it, the young guys, the continued growth of Zach LaVine's got a really pretty shot. Some of them will start going in a little bit more on a higher frequency, I would imagine. But said, look at the backcourt. Ricky Rubio, Zach LaVine, Andrew Wiggins. For the future, that's pretty stinking good.
Not bad at all. I mean, if LaVine just picks up and just listens to Garnett and he listens to Rubio, and we all clearly know what he's got in there now.
All three of those guys are hard workers, keep their nose down to the grindstone for the most part. They're not out there, you know, talking to the media, doing this or that, or like some of these basketball or football or just professional athletes that are all me, look at me, I need to get on TV, mm-hmm. I need to say this on Twitter, I need the spotlight, and none of those guys are like that, which is another reason I love.
Especially Wiggins. I mean, he's very quiet, goes about his business, right.
Question three, the Twins opened up exhibition play last night by hosting the Gopher baseball team. Your guy, Byron Buxton, two doubles, Miguel Sano, ripped a liner through the box, walked once. The guys look pretty good, but you have to remember they were playing college kids, obviously. If Buxton plays with the tenacity he showed at the plate yesterday, Do you think you should be the opening day center fielder, or are you like me when it comes to the younger guys, when I think it should hold off until the season's underway, because 162 games is a pretty long time, and I don't want to burn out the rookies. The young guys are future stars by being called up too early. What are your thoughts?
I think as long as he's healthy, I mean, completely, totally back, and 100%, you know, the wrist, the concussion issues, I think that it's time for that kid to come and join the majors. Hicks, on the other hand, has had a few chances, not one, several chances, and some people just don't get it. They squander and continue to squander. Why not put, now, I mean, not that that would change for Hicks, but that would certainly, it'd be an option to put Buxton at center. I mean, I know they want him at left.
No, they want Buxton at center. 162 games, though, from the beginning. I mean, you look at guys that like Buxton, he comes up a little bit too early. I don't want to rush him up here, but if he's good, I get the fact that you want him up here. I understand that, but I don't want the chance he's been injured. He's got that wrist, that concussion problem.
I said that.
I know you did.
I definitely said that.
Worries me.
But I also think that if you're out there, that means you should be on the team and not him. That just means for 162 games, whatever you can do, you're a better ball player than this guy. You get that shot. You're part of the 9 starting Minnesota Twins. You're in the lineup. Why give it to another guy to sort of lean on that one of those positions for a while until the other guy's completely ready down in the farm system? I don't get that.
Because I don't want to wreck the future. That's the only thing.
I think a kid like that is a sponge.
I get scared.
Well, I mean, not him. He's not scared.
No, I know he's not scared.
He's not scared. I honestly believe that the best man plays. You play him. Why wait? I mean, get it. Cut some teeth. Find out if he's a full-grown man or not. I mean, Teddy Bridgewater, I mean, in the fire. Mm. He was thrown into the fire.
But you look at the guys like Danny Santana last year and Kenny Vargas, who came up probably midway through the season. I would say maybe two-thirds through the season, somewhere around there. And they came up and they hit over 300 and they were doing really well. And now they have confidence.
Yep.
They didn't have to play 162-game season and grind their body because they're not used to that. And now they come into this spring training and then going into this next season with this confidence. That's kind of the blueprint that I'm hoping that is followed from Miguel Sano.
If you have that luxury and you have someone that, quite frankly, deserves to play about as much as he does, and he can man up until the kid shows that he's got that savvy and that edge about him, especially at the plate. I don't think anyone's worried about his athleticism out in the outfield and running down a fly ball from time to time. I think he's definitely the athlete in this organization's system that is, they're waiting for him to come up.
No, he's the number one, number two prospect in all of baseball. Question four, the Gopher men's basketball team host rival Wisconsin. Hate him.
Yeah, I do too.
Tonight at the Barn and on national TV, by the way.
I like Melvin Gordon.
They'll be on Sports
Center. But that's a different thing.
Yeah. The Gophers have beaten Wisconsin twice in a row at Williams Arena, which I find that hard to believe. Coming up, coming off of a massive upset against Michigan State in East Lansing. They hadn't beat them in East Lansing since 1997. That was 1 week ago. What are the chances that the Gophers can do it again tonight against the Badgers? Badgers are the number one team in the Big Ten.
Yeah, I mean, and they're playing well.
Frank Kaminsky, you know,
again,
huge white guy.
The Tank.
He's their star.
Frank the Tank.
Yeah.
I don't think I like their chances really to do that.
They only lost to him by 10 in Madison a couple weeks ago. A week ago, week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago.
Gosh, we need to call Kelly in Vegas.
Yeah.
He's always so good on that kind of stuff. We should call her. Damn it. But I don't know. That's a pretty tall order. We can give it a shot. I would say I'm going to go with no. And I want the Gophers to win. I always do. But that Wisconsin's playing pretty good basketball. Frank the Tank. He was on Sports Illustrated, the collegiate, the NCAA cover. It was pretty cool.
But imagine shocking the world. I mean, tomorrow we're going to be from Let's Play, live from Let's Play Hockey with the Minnesota High School Hockey Tournament that's going on. All the games, obviously, right here on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket. And so, yeah, no, it's just,
yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun.
Tomorrow there's going to be Shock the World.
Can you do Let's Play Hockey? Do you know how to do Let's Play Hockey?
Yeah.
Like if you were Adrian Peterson, don't do it the way he did it.
If I was Adrian Peterson, I would probably do
Let's
Play
Hockey. Don't do it like the governor, the former governor of this great state, Governor Tim Pawlenty. Don't do that one. Do Let's Play Hockey.
Okay.
Here he goes.
Ladies and gentlemen, home of the home ice advantage, which is the stupidest saying of all time.
No, don't say that. Wait, start again. Don't say that because you're on the microphone now in front of a lot of people that they're trying to give credit to for being the greatest home ice advantage. And that's the whole pitch. So don't say that.
Okay, hold on.
Please welcome Vikings All-Pro running back Adrian Peterson.
Do it this way. Do it this way.
Yeah.
Take it away, AP.
Anytime now, buddy.
All right.
Okay.
It's time to drop the puck.
Oh, God. He's already screwed
so
it up.
So everyone say it with me.
It's time.
It's time to play hockey.
That's not good. Neither was this.
So the time has come to drop the puck.
What's wrong with him? He could have said anything.
He's the governor.
He's the governor of this great state. Was. Damn it anyway.
I got a halfie. 4.5 questions at 4:30. Half question. The comments that Kevin Garnett made about the Denver Nuggets last night after the game. He was sitting in his locker and he made disparaging comments about the team, about the Denver Nuggets and how their coach got fired and all that stuff. And we'll play the audio coming up here for those of you that didn't hear it. But what's your one-word reaction to Kevin Garnett being, I don't know.
Arrogant.
Yeah.
That's the word.
It was all over SportsCenter. It's all over all the media. But you can't believe what he heard. And we're going to play it for you next.
Mm-hmm.
Don't go anywhere because...
Arrogant.
How can he make those comments about another team?
That's a good question. We'll delve into that next right here at Radioactive Sports.
Here's this Kevin Garnett audio we were talking about last break. Kevin Garnett after the game last night, the Denver Nuggets. Well, listen for yourself.
To be honest, they quit on Brian Shaw. I thought, you know, they quit again. You know, a quitter is a quitter. That was my take on that. But if you got any kind of self-pride about your future, then you want to anticipate someone playing hard. But no, I didn't really think about the Denver Nuggets and how they was going to come out. So I was more concerned about us and us going forward and being better.
Okay.
All over SportsCenter.
That's a little too much. I think that's a little over. I think maybe he thinks he's all world now again, like he used to be back in the day. He's not. Someone needs to tell him to keep himself in check now. He's been brought in to take care of some of these younger guys and to keep them in check and to lead the way. And I don't know if that was the best step taken last night.
Especially after being shellacked.
And you get your ass kicked and talking like that is not the way to go. I think that he has found a new sense of confidence that he hasn't had in a while since playing here or maybe winning a championship in Boston. But he has slowly sort of regressed with age. And now he's back, and he's in charge of a lot of things and the responsibility for doing a lot of things. And so I think he's taken this a little too far this time.
Yeah, but don't you think he's Kevin Garnett? He reminds me of Charles Barkley, who is making money now after basketball off of his mouth. He's a mouthy guy. And Kevin Garnett could probably do the same exact thing because that's who Kevin Garnett is. He's always been the same Kevin Garnett that he was here as he grew up with the Minnesota Timberwolves when he went to the Boston Celtics and he went to the Brooklyn Nets. We just didn't see it face to face because he wasn't here. But now that he's coming back, obviously it was a shocking statement saying that they're quitters. They quit on Brian Shaw, but he has a relationship with Brian Shaw. And Brian Shaw, maybe he talked to him.
It's a business. It's a business. Surely he would know that from what happened with Flip. I mean, Flip Saunders got dealt. He got dealt. Kevin McHale got dealt out.
But is it wrong to say that the team quit because they probably did? I mean, they had lost 25 of 27 games before the Brian Shaw firing.
That. You don't say that, especially after you get beat. I think that Kevin Garnett of old was a classy leader and still is, I'm sure. We all know that he was a renegade on the court, and many of the best people in sports are that way on the court. On the football field, on the diamond, they're anything but likable. Larry Bird, you can go right down the list. But this is when you come out in public and you get on a microphone and you talk about a team that you just got beat by, or that's all you've got to say. Normally that isn't taken very well by other people or the league when you come out and say things.
No, it was a bit shocking, and that's why it was all over the media. Let's just play the beginning part of this one more time, because I think that you and I disagree on it. Obviously, I think it was a little shocking, a little probably more than he should have said. But 651-989-9105, if you disagree that Kevin Garnett, or you agree that he overstepped his boundaries in saying this about the Denver Nuggets last night after being beaten by 15 points.
To be honest, they quit on Brian Shaw. I thought, you know, they quit again. You know, a quitter is a quitter. That was my take on that. But if you got any kind of self-pride about your future, then you want to anticipate someone playing hard. But no, I didn't really think about.
And that's basically what he said.
That's fine. I mean, he's getting his point across to their organization. He's talking to upper level management for getting rid of a coach or what. Where is that in this interview? We don't care about that. What happened in tonight's game? Kind of keep it where it should be. We all understand that you're Kevin Garnett and you've been in the league for 20 years and you have relationships all over the league and upper echelon management positions, we know. We get it. But the fact is that that is a cheaper sort of way of going about business. You know,
it was a
cheap shot. And that's the wrong kind of thing to send to anyone in that locker room that he's now a part of.
Yeah, he needs to focus on the Minnesota Timberwolves and getting them better, because if he wants to be ownership or upper management or obviously being the leader that now he thinks he is at 38, coming back home to Minnesota, let's focus on maybe trying to win some more games. This just in, though, Timberwolves have been awarded center Justin Hamilton from the Heat off the waivers. He's averaging just under 3 points, 2 rebounds, and 12 minutes per game in 24 games. Timberwolves have waived Glenn Robinson III, who they drafted this year in the second round. Again, Timberwolves awarded center Justin Hamilton. They need some serious help down there. Gorky Jang just worked over by Kenneth Faried last night. Just under 3 points, 2 rebounds, 12 minutes per game, 24 games. Glenn Robinson III, a Timberwolves draft pick in the second round this last year, has been waived. Not that that's really going to do anything.
I think he's a quitter, quite frankly. you got to do what you got to do. And Flip's got, I think, a vision. And I think maybe Kevin's helping him out with some of the different things that need to happen out there on the court and what he might still need. Kevin can certainly tell him from a player's perspective and the relationship, a very, I think, personal relationship with Flip as to what kind of things need to still be out there on the court. Let's take a little break. We got, We've been waiting on this one now. We've been holding on and keeping this one under our hat. But Brian Murphy is a close friend of ours on this show. And he's with the Pioneer Press, and he's also a Minnesota Viking beat reporter. And he might just have a thing or two on the Adrian Peterson saga.
He does have a thing
regarding,
or two.
Regarding what kind of talks, what kind of discussions they may or may not have had yesterday down at his house in Houston. We'll come back and talk about all of that with Brian Murphy next on Radioactive Sports.
Hello!
And Dan.
They're running.
You know, it's about that time. Here he comes.
Ryan Murphy is a shark.